John 13, verse 1, it says, it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus replied, "You do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will." "No," said Peter, "you shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no part with me." And then looking at verse 12, skipping to verse 12 in that same chapter, when he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. "Do you understand what I have done for you?" he asked. "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very, very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." I want to preach this morning on this Service Strong Sunday. If you don't mind, for the time that is nine, I want to preach from the sermon topic, carrying the towel versus wearing the crown. Carrying the towel versus wearing the crown. Most of us, just it is our nature, if we had a choice, we would choose to be the greatest. We would choose to be at the top. We would choose to wear the crown. When we say that, wearing the crown, we mean that it's symbolic of honor. It is symbolic of power, royalty, and prestige. Wearing the crown develops a hierarchy. Whoever wears the crown is above, while those who do not are below. The person who wears the crown calls the shots. They run the show. And they are granted privilege and access because of their high position. Who wouldn't want to wear the crown? So when we look in Luke, the 9th chapter, the 46th verse, there's this discord, there's this conversation amongst the disciples who are having a very singular discussion. They were arguing amongst themselves because they wanted to know which one of them would be the greatest. When Jesus left, who would be next in line to wear the crown? And Jesus, being all-knowing, he knew their thoughts, and in verse 48, he said something to them that would try to help shift their hearts and their attitudes. He told them, "For it is the one who is least among you that will be the greatest." What kind of word is that? Nobody ever desires to be the least in the room. Everybody wants to be the greatest, but Jesus was trying to help the disciples to understand that wearing the crown in this world should never be a goal for them to reach. It is in their ability to become the least where they actually find their divine value. And I have to share that for us as Christians, the current culture would make us believe that what Jesus said was only for that time period and only for those disciples. Because even in our present ideology and theology, it is more connected to how we can get to the top than it is to consider ourselves meek and lowly. In churches all over the world, people are coming to be served instead of realizing they are supposed to serve others. We want more blessings, and we want more miracles, and we want more breakthroughs with less sacrifice and with less obedience and with less service. But can I tell you this? Jesus' word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. For it is the one who is least among you who is the greatest. I know already some of y'all have already turned your ear to my words. This sermon might not go down as one of my greatest sermons because it is not a sermon to make us feel good, but it's a sermon to make us servants. That's what we are called to be. We are called to not just serve, but to be servants. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm a servant. And that is where we find ourselves in the text. The disciples are all hanging out with Jesus during the Passover feast. Jesus knows that his time is coming to an end. He has already expressed that. And they are now at this place during this Passover feast where they know, all the disciples know, they know tradition. They know what's supposed to happen. They know that somebody's supposed to wash the other folks' feet. But no one is jumping up. The disciples have not yet understood what Jesus told them earlier in Luke. In their minds, the greatest should not be washing feet. But the word says that Jesus got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. The greatest among them showed them what being great really looks like. He did not speak it to them. He showed it to them by his example. It was in that moment that the man who came from heaven wearing a crown turned into the man now carrying the towel. He needed to shift what they had thought made them great. And my assignment this morning is to help us to get service strong, is to help us to understand that this is not about coming to church and trying to figure out whether you got a reserved seat. This is now not about coming to church trying to figure out whether the pastor's finally going to call your name because of what you've done. I'm sorry, that's not what this sermon is for. This is not being recognized for all the great things that you do to make sure that the church does not fail. But can I tell you, this is how to learn how to serve. The only way you can be a servant of the Most High God is to understand that the greatest among you is the least. Look at somebody, tell them, will you be the least among this pew? A couple things I want to share, and I'm going to take my seat if we're going to be serving strong, Reverend Doctor. The first thing you got to understand, if you're going to be serving strong and if we're going to carry the towel instead of always wanting to wear the crown, the first thing you got to tell yourself, I got to die to self. I got to die. If I'm going to be a servant, if I'm going to be service strong, I got to die to self. How do we know it? It says it in the text. Y'all don't see it. I'm going to show you where it is in verse 4. Reverend Keisha, Jesus did something very significant that most folks would just read over. It says in verse 4 that he took off his outer clothing. Okay, y'all don't understand, but I understand because I went to school for this. The translation for this verb, took off, in this text is the same verb used for the laying down of one's life. So Jesus shows that in order to become serve the strong, we will have to lay down our life to self, lay down our life to our own agendas, lay down our life to our own motives and to our own will. It is where we serve out of priority and not privilege. It is where we serve out of conviction and not consequences. It is where we serve out of obedience and not just another opportunity. Being served the strong teaches us that we serve not because we feel like it, but we serve because God called us to it. I'm not doing this because of emotion. I'm doing this because God told me so. The greatest teacher of humility is service. It's where we become less than so that God can become greater in us. Theda did not understand this, and in verse 8, he gets kind of indignant with Jesus, and he tells Jesus, "Jesus, you shall never wash my feet." You got to remember that Peter is the only one who knew exactly who Jesus was. In Matthew, the 16th chapter, when Jesus asked, "Who do you say I am?" Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So in the eyes of Peter, there is no way that the Messiah should ever have to wash his feet, but Jesus came to redefine what it meant to wear the crown by being the one who carried the towel. It was no longer about status, but wearing the crown meant you had to carry the towel of surrender, salvation, and service. Service is where we die from only doing things that benefit us, but live for the purpose of blessing others. Our egos, our pride, and our conceit cannot operate in the same realm of being a servant. Serve the strong means we are selfless and benevolent and compassionate and caring. We die to self so that we can live to serve somebody else. When we become our least, we become God's greatest. You want to be greatest in the kingdom? Be the least in the world and help somebody, serve somebody, touch somebody, encourage somebody, and get out of always trying to do what's best for you. Look at somebody telling you got to die to self if you're going to be served the strong. Second thing is, if you're going to be served the strong, you gotta understand that all service is not God's service. This one's going to be hard for some of y'all, but I'm going to preach it anyway. As Christians, we have to be careful that our service does not come at the expense of doing God's work. In the world we live in, service can get tricky because it can sometimes be difficult to determine if the service is for those being served or those that are doing the serving. There are a lot of folks who are doing the work, but it is work that is not always connected to God's work. In the Celebration of Disciplines, the book we've been reading, Richard Foster, the author, says, "If true service is to be understood in practice, it must be distinguished clearly from self-righteous service." In other words, there's a difference that separates service, because all service is not always God's service. And service that is not called by God is grown out of self-notice and human effort. It is service that will only do the big stuff. Service that needs and requires to be seen. Service that is reciprocated only when it is appreciated. Service that is result-driven and looking for high returns. Service that picks and chooses who and how it will serve. Service that is emotionally driven and mood motivated. Service that is always looking to define the narrative. Service that is controlling, manipulative, and divisive. Service that points to the server more than acknowledging and supporting those that are being served. Can I be honest? I sometimes wonder, if nobody knew what we were doing, how much doing would still get done? Jesus washes the disciples' feet. He does not take pictures. There was no big news story. He does not call the Washington Post to let them know what he's about to do. He just does it in private. I don't want people to get the wrong message. I'm not saying that we should never bring attention to service as long as it points to both the people being served and the God we serve. But in the words of Jeremy Taylor, love to be concealed and little esteem. Be content to lack praise. Never trouble when thou art slighted or undervalued. The Reverend Bill Lee translation is, get over yourself, because it shouldn't be about you anyway. But when God calls us to a service, we are not bitter about who shows up. We are not beefing because the response wasn't what we thought. We aren't blasting folks because they didn't support us in our endeavor. When God calls us to a service, we do it with the joy knowing that our reward comes from our Father in heaven. When God calls us to a service, we draw not from our own power, but from the power of the Holy Spirit that grants us favor. When God calls us to a service, it doesn't matter who gets the credit. When God calls us to a service, there is no difference between what's big and what's small. When God calls us to a service, we are neither afraid of the attention, nor do we intentionally seek after it. When God calls us to a service, we understand that it is not temporary, but it is a lifestyle. God's service builds up communities and draws us closer to one another and heals those that have been brokenhearted and notices and uplifts those that have been marginalized. God's service does not do it for the gram, Facebook, or Twitter, but it does it for the glory and the honor of the Most High and to edify God's people. God's service is not a brand. You can't brand this. You can't brand what's not yours. Do it for God. Look at somebody telling nobody needs to know. You want to battle against your flesh and become humble? Do service in hidden places. Nobody knows that you went and did hospital visits. Nobody knows that you were feeding the homeless because you taking pictures of you feeding the homeless with somebody who necessarily don't want their picture taken, but you think because you gave them a meal that you now deserve to take a picture because you did something to them. Get out of yourself. Serve. Because it's a calling. Not because it brands you. Whew. I got to keep moving. I got to get you out of here. The last thing is, if we're going to be service strong, you got to learn this last thing. I pray that you get it, because if you don't, you will miss it. In order to be service strong, you got to take care of what's in the house. Look at somebody, tell them, take care of the house first. Okay. When we carry the towel, we understand that our service is not solely connected to who we put ourselves around, that it's connected to who we find ourselves around. Y'all miss that. To quit ourselves is to choose who we will serve. To find ourselves is to look for who God put around us to serve. Jesus tells the disciples, Minister Dan in verse 14, now that I, your Lord, listen to this, your teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Hold on. Can I be honest with y'all right here? From a preacher's standpoint, I'm struggling with the text here, Sister Britt. I have to admit that I'm slightly confused, Reverend Doctor, what Jesus told the disciples in this verse, because at first look, it really doesn't make sense. Y'all still not following me. Y'all not understanding my conundrum in the text. Jesus had already washed everybody's feet. And then he expects the disciples to wash each other's feet. Their feet were already clean. So I'm reading this, and I'm doing exactly what I'm doing now. I'm scratching my head. I asked Jesus, what was the purpose of having them do a service that had already been done? Jesus told me, he said, listen, he said, you're missing this just like they did. He said, I had to show them something. He said, when I initially washed their feet, it was to give them an example they could follow. He said that the reason I told them to wash each other's feet was to test them. To test them. What do you mean to test them? He told me, how could I trust them to take care of the multitude on the outside if they couldn't take care of the minimum on the inside? How could I expect them to handle all of humanity if they couldn't handle what was in their own house? The only way I knew they could be a servant everywhere was by testing whether they could be a servant to their brothers that were right there beside them. Too many times, we are so busy attempting to serve the world while not adequately taking time to serve those that are closest and nearest to us. Will you wash the feet of your family? Will you wash the feet of your spouse? Will you wash the feet of your children and your closest friends? If the world knows your name for all you've done for them, that those in your own house have not been impacted by your service, you have failed not only those in your house, but you have failed to be a true servant of God. You got to touch your house before you touch anything. Place God needs us to serve is right where we are, touching those who can readily touch us. Service is not a decision that we make. It is an action that we perform regardless of where we find ourselves. In the Gospel of Mark, the 9th chapter, the 35th verse, Jesus tells his disciples, if anyone wants to be first, they must be last of all. They will all be the one to care for all. Jesus does not say they get to choose, pick, or delegate when, where, and who they will serve. It says if we want to be first, we will need to learn how to be last. And the quickest way to learn that lesson is to be the one who cares for all. Not looking for an angle, a twist, a slant, but just being a servant in all things, in all situations, in all places, in all environments, in all circumstances, in all locations. Servants don't look for opportunities to serve. Servants already know that somebody needs their feet washed. Service is not just a season. It is not just looking for Christmas to feed homeless people and say, look at what I've done. Service is tutoring a child. It's buying groceries for a single mother who you know needs help. It's cutting the grass of the elderly neighbor. It's volunteering at your own church. Service goes beyond these big things where the lights are flashing. No. Service is doing what nobody knows you even doing, because you are not looking for the applause of man nor woman. You were just looking for the smile on God's face. Well done. Good and faithful. Ooh, you've been faithful over few means small. In other words, you didn't look to do all the big stuff. You just did the small things. And because I can trust you with the small things, I can give you a platform to be amongst standing all over the church. Look at somebody telling me, I got to be service strong. I got to find how to serve. Not for my own ego. Not so that when people call me and say, well, what'd you do? Oh, yeah, well, you know, I took the kids and we went out and we fed the homeless. Like the homeless is a category. No, you fed people who were in need, who by some chance don't have a home right now. But can we stop making it seem like we're doing such a big deal for those who are homeless? By the grace, we are one paycheck away. When we serve what the world says is the least, I dare you to look at them and realize you're serving kings and queens in the eyes of God. Because God said, the least are the greatest. I just want to be a servant. That's all I want to be. Look at somebody, tell them, I'm going to be service strong. That's what I'm going to be. I'm going to be service strong. In my job, in my home, at the grocery store, at the cleaners, on the metro. I'm just ready. God, tap me in. Who you want me to serve? Right there, I got you. I saw you struggling with your bags to get to the car, ma'am. Can I help you? Thank you, son. No time to take pictures or video it or Instagram it. I'm just doing it because this is what servants do. We look to serve. Don't need to be recognized. The death of many churches is that too many folks want to be recognized. If you were in this to be recognized, you were in it for the wrong reasons. And as much as we try, because I believe me, I understand the need to feel appreciated and be recognized and be seen, I understand that I'm not trying to. But we will miss it sometimes, y'all. And it ain't personal. It ain't against you. It's just you got a leadership that really don't care about being seen. So if we don't care, we don't always have the kind of mindset that is always trying to make sure you feel like you're seen. Y'all get what I'm saying? I can't tell you, Reverend Doctor, myself, Pastor, how many hospital visits we do in a week. And it's not to be known. But you'll never see me on Instagram taking a picture of me with somebody in a sick bag talking about, check us out. No. That is not why we serve. Look at somebody, tell them, you got to learn hidden service. That's what That's what Richard Foster, chapter 9, the discipline of service, he says you got to learn hidden service, because hidden service deals with you denying in your flesh. See, when you give of need to somebody who can't necessarily tell what you've done, that you do it anyway, that's hidden service. Nobody knows that I'm doing this. Let me get y'all out of here. Check y'all pew. Make sure everybody in your pew is saved. Make sure they got a church home. Just ask them, are you saved? You got a church home? Everybody in your pew say you got a church home. You good? Everybody good? Everybody good? If you need a church home, we would love for you to join this place called Community of Hope. If you have never given your life to Christ, we would love for you to become a part of not only this church, but more importantly, a part of the kingdom. If you're already saved, raise your right hand. Got a church home, raise your left hand. Make sure your pew, they got both hands up. If they do, give them the double high five. Tell them, I'm glad you saved, glad you got a church home.